Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Several announcements I want to make. First, you take your red pad, sign it, pass it down, name, address, email address if you've not given that. Or if you've given it and you're not getting emails, church emails, if you put it on an I Wish card and get it to me, I'll try to make sure that you are signed up for that. Mind you, have junior church, first three Sundays of each month over in the fellowship hall next door. Next Sunday, on the 26th, we have the ordination and installation of elders and deacons. We're a little late getting that done this year, but it's very important. So hope everyone can be out for that. Women's Association will meet after worship. It says next Sunday, February 26th. Adult Sunday School, 9:15 in the library, just straight through here. Sunday, March 4th is Scout Sunday, so if you've scouted and got a scout uniform, you can come out in that, and so we always look forward to that. Youth group, and you can see the dates and times that they're meeting, and you can see Nancy Tate wants to thank everyone for the prayers, cards, and concerns, especially Leonard, and really thank you for that, Nancy. The annual congregation meeting will be held on Sunday, March 25th. So timely submission of reports for auditing is greatly appreciated. Reports should be submitted to Mary Stultz or Ella Lyons. So thank you, and really do need to get those in. Then the family of Joseph, Kathy, and Nathaniel and Rito would like to thank everyone for their prayers, cards, and love of the church family. For the two recent deaths of Robert Kaufman and Joseph Inoretto Sr., father, stepfather, and grandfathers, we appreciate all of you very much. We would also like to thank Leonard for visiting us at our home and praying with us, and also for coming to the visitation. God bless each and every one of you. Love, Kathy, Inoretto, and family. I received this morning. I barely had time to look at it, but this is from Nancy Baldwin. If I can read it, it's so small. I just wanted to say thank you for all your support during my father-in-law's illness and passing. My mother-in-law was very surprised and honored that you attended the viewing. I'm also very thankful for all the wonderful, thoughtful cards that many folks in the congregation sent. My mother-in-law is doing remarkable well for everything she has been through, and we're in the process of moving her into the assisted living facility. I was hoping that you could pass this on along for the church tomorrow, as I am not going to be able to attend. I just had all the screws removed from both of my knees Thursday morning, and I have to be completely non-weight-bearing for the first 4 days. At least no one can say that I have a few screws loose, because I just had them all removed. But I should be up and at least walking slowly in a few days. I also hope that you are doing well and know that you are in my thoughts and prayers. Thanks again for everything, Nancy. So we thank her for that. Also, and we'll do this at prayer time, but I got a call this morning. Alice Lombardo passed away. She's not a member of our congregation, but she's related through Dom and Linda and Dominic. And the viewing will be Monday and the funeral Tuesday, but when they called, they didn't know which funeral home it was going to be. So you can look in the newspaper, unless someone here happens to know. Think it's Bach? Okay, Box. So you can check the paper and the time for that, or call Box. I went over and visited yesterday. Jay Hartz's brother, Jim, is in the process of leaving this life to go to the next one. And he got a call this morning during Sunday school, which he's teaching, from a nurse to come on over to the hospital. So Jay and Karen, is Karen here too? I guess she went with him. He's gone over to see Jim and be with Barb, his wife. And yesterday when I was over there, they had the dog in the bed with him, and I just thought that was so nice what animals mean to us. So if he passes a day or whenever, they've asked me to do the service. And so prayers for that family. And we'll mention that again. But any other announcements that need to be made? Before, is that before church or after church?
After church.
Okay, okay. Donut Sunday, we haven't had one in a long time, March 27th, after church. Hope you can stay for a little while, have a donut before you go out to lunch. Let's check that date before service is over. Let's make sure we have it right. It's been put on their calendars. Any other announcements? Yeah, Ash Wednesday is listed in your calendar, but don't forget, and I've got it up on the board for the end of the service, but Ash Wednesday communion. Everyone is invited to receive communion. You do not have to be Presbyterian. We just ask that you are a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And Ash Wednesday service will be a little bit different. We started it last year. We're going to have a little burning ceremony where you are given slips of paper, and you will write down maybe a specific sin that you have in your life. Maybe it's a secret sin, which most of our sins are until they're found out, that you've been dealing with. And you can write it down and place it in the bowl or the offering plate. Then we're going to put them together, and then we're going to burn them and offer them up to the Lord and before we have communion. So hope that you can come out for the service Wednesday night at 7. April 1st, Donut Sunday. Okay. Anything else before we... Don't wait for Hearst to take you to church. Sounds good to me. Anything else? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, 561, we gather together. Worship continue with the prayer of confession printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we worship you because you are full of wisdom. We love you because you listen to our prayers when we are joyful or angry and when we have a great need in our life. Forgive us when we do not hear you speak. Teach us how to meditate upon your words of life. Help us to open our ears to what our family members are saying to us. Remind us that our spouses and children need our full attention. May we learn the importance of tuning in to those around us. One day we need to hear what we have to say. In Jesus' name, Amen. Let us take a moment as we close our eyes and bow our heads for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us join together with a real true sense of unity at Glenshaw Valley as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. I'm sure there's names you don't really know yet, so ask those names. Go to the other side of the aisles.
Leonard had to step out for a moment, so he's asked me to pinch it till he returns. So we'll continue with the responsive reading, Wisdom 679. To the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding.
To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity.
To give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion.
A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will obtain wise counsel.
To understand a proverb, an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding.
For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom.
But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth.
This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic.
For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there.
But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
Now's the time for the pastoral prayer. So do we have any prayer requests? I guess Leonard will take over at this point. Thanks.
Okay. So nice to know that I can depend on somebody if I have to. I don't have to do everything. You can have somebody fill in, and everything goes smoothly. Open this up with a pastoral prayer. Any prayer requests? And remember, Lombardo family and the Hearts family, of course. And peruse the back of your bulletin, and you see the different names. Let's remember all of these and keep these in your prayer. And Adele is one of the newer prayers, and she's still having the heart checked out and got diagnosed with acid reflux disease, so she's dealing with that, as a lot of other people are. And you see that John Rally was moved to Grace Manor over on Babcock, so hopefully some people can get out there and visit him. Any other prayer requests at this time?
For my mom.
Mom, okay. For Kathy's mom. Yes, Muriel. Okay. For husband Bob with acid reflux and blood on the pillow and getting the port taken out. Okay. And Diane, a friend who lost her husband.
Jen. I just got a text message that his battle is finished.
Okay. Jim Hart's just passed away, Jay's brother. So let's be in prayer for the family and thankful, believing that Jim went to heaven, received his reward, and the suffering is over. Be in prayer for, especially for his wife, Barb, and for son, and all family. Anyone else? Okay, for her friend Heidi, surgery. Bladder cancer and then radiation. Anyone else? Okay, Janice, white blood count is low, so if you're praying about that. Your friend D is experimental treatment this week. Anyone else?
Yes. My son Bill.
Her son Bill.
There's no feeling in his hands or his feet.
No feeling in hands or feet. And on oxygen. And he lives right here in the Shaler over in our neighborhood. Anyone else? Yes. Prayer of blessing.
Blessing for our birthday girl.
Oh, happy birthday. I'll call you later and sing to you. Don't answer the phone. Anyone else? Okay. And remind session must be in prayer. We have a meeting after church for our policies and procedures. It's so important getting that done. And let's go to the Lord in prayer, lead you into the Lord's Prayer, saying trust, debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Hopefully we come to you with our ears open, our hearts open, our spirit open to receive a word that you would speak to us. Not just while we are in this sanctuary gathered together as the collective body, the church, but when we are at home in a quiet time, taking time to pray to you, to tell you about our needs, our wants, our desires, our hurts, our joys, our times of thanksgiving. But we would take a little while to sit and meditate upon your word and then wait and listen for you to speak to us, that you can guide us, direct us, waiting for that still, calm, quiet, small voice. We're so rushed in our society, we just don't take the time. So many things grab our attention. The telephone, the cell phones, the television, the computers, ball games, yard work, our work to survive, even our church work sometimes. Remind us how important it is to listen to you and to listen to our family and our friends and our co-workers, to really hear them also. Lord, we know that you are listening to us today as we lift up these prayers to you, believing that you hear us and that you answer our prayers, not always according to our will. Sometimes we're fickle and we don't even know what we want. We may pray one thing this week and decide something else next week. But according to your will be done in our lives and in our families' lives and even in our country's life and even in the entire world. And help us to understand that, that your will for our life is more important than our will for our life. Help us line our will up according to your will, to keep praying, to keep loving, to keep telling others about you, to never lose our faith, to keep moving forward, step by step, day by day, reading our Bibles, studying, worshiping, ministering to one another. Thank you for the great examples that you gave us, the works of healing, the parables, the teachings, even the times that you rebuked Peter. We thank you for that. And we thank you for this great prayer that ministers to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is a new one, and I didn't have any sheet music to pass out today, but Mickey's going to inquire, going to do their best to teach us. Are you going to sing anything first? Okay, so we're just going to learn it, and are we going to sing it through one time or two times? Is this a one? So we're going to sing it through one time. Okay. And right in the middle, you'll see it, it'll put up choir, so we'll stop and the choir will sing something, then we'll jump back in. Bow forward of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for Jesus Christ coming into our world, being one of us, understanding what it is like to be human, and then going to the cross, giving himself as a sacrifice, that we could have life, life eternal, and could have the abundant life here upon this earth. Help us to celebrate this life and have a sense of joy, even through the trials and tribulations that we go through. And thank you that we can gather together as the church, the collective body of Jesus Christ. We can worship together, eat together, pray together, even cry together. Lord, thank you for Glenshaw Valley, what it means to each person that is here today, what it means to the community, and what it can even mean in a bigger way, in outreach. Help us, Lord, to find a new sense of direction and outreach to minister to more people, to touch their lives with Jesus Christ, that they can find him as their Lord and Savior and have eternal life with you. Thank you, Lord, for every gift that is given, every gift that is used for your kingdom. We pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen. Did I do that? It's your fault, Chuck. I'm not taking responsibility.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
Our scripture today is very unique, I think. It talks about the coming of the kingdom on earth. And I want to read to you Mark 1 that immediately precedes our scripture. And he, meaning Jesus, said to them, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God has come with power." And just 6 days after that, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to the mountain where they see Elisha and Moses. Moses represents the law. Elisha represents the prophets. And with them is Jesus, and they're all transfigured. They become whiter than snow, and they are beautiful. It's the kingdom of God here on earth and the power of God on earth. And it's misunderstood by Peter. And then God finally says, "Look, these guys are the past, Moses and Elisha, the prophets. Listen to my son, listen to Jesus, and follow him." So listen to Mark 9, 1 through 2 through 13, 12. I get it right, 2 through 10. "After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elisha and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, it is good that we're here. Let us put up put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elisha.' He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, 'This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him.' Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Let's thank Jesus and Bill for being willing to use the talent to read. Do you have anyone in your family who has a listening problem? Yeah, how many? Now notice I did not say a hearing problem. Many people have ears that work quite well. Nevertheless, they are very selective in what they hear. The story is told of King Edward VII. His grandson, Prince David, had a good relationship with his grandfather. Still, David was a child, and in those days, and adults in England during this period, particularly royalty, were not known to listen to children. Children to be seen, not heard. That's kind of the way it was when I grew up. At dinner on one occasion, little David tried to get his grandfather's attention, and he was reprimanded for interrupting the king, his grandfather, during the dinner meal. So the young prince sat in silence until he was given permission to speak. And finally, when he was given permission to speak, he addressed his grandfather, and he said, "Well, grandfather, it's too late now. There was a caterpillar on your lettuce, and you've already eaten it." The king should have listened to his grandfather or to his grandson. It pays attention, it's smart sometimes to listen to children, to our spouses, to our co-workers, to our family members. Yet authentic listening sometimes can be very rare. Former President Bill Clinton once compared it to running a cemetery. Said, being president is like running a cemetery. You've got a lot of people under you, but no one is listening. You've heard the old saying that God gave us two ears but only one mouth, indicating that God wanted us to spend twice as much time listening as he did talking. However, it could be that God gave us two ears and one mouth because listening is twice as hard as talking. Sometimes, for one reason or another, we deliberately do not listen. Either we're not interested, or something else has our attention. Some of you remember the old Mutt and Jeff. Some of you won't know who I'm talking about, but Mutt and Jeff built a soundproof room. To test it, Mutt went into the room and closed the door, and Jeff yelled from the outside, "Mutt, can you hear me?" Mutt yelled back, "No!" It's a served routine, of course, but sometimes we may deliberately tune out someone else. Let me see if this will work. Reverend John Cramp reports that his grandmother had a unique way of ending arguments with her spouse. I've seen this one before. When Grandma got tired of listening to her husband, she just simply reached up and turned off the hearing aid. Who's done that one? Grandma refused to hear anything that she did not want to hear. Grandma's not the only one, is she? Sometimes we do not want to listen. Sometimes we may not listen because what is being said is too threatening, it is too painful to hear, so we close off completely. One of her books, Joyce Landolf, tells of a friend of hers who had just been told that she had breast cancer. Who wants to hear that? Nobody does. And her only hope for survival was a mastectomy, to have both breasts removed. She was crushed by the news. And she turned, as many a young woman would, to her mother, who had always been there for her, to support her in times of difficulty and times of crises. So she called her mother and asked her to have lunch with her. And she was going to tell her this news over lunch. And after they had lunch together, she said, "Mother, I have some terrible news to tell. I've just come from the doctor's office. Just left. And I've been told that I have cancer and it's necessary for me to have a mastectomy." Her mother replied, "You know, your sister has the most wonderful recipe for making chicken enchiladas." "Mother, you didn't hear me. I told you that I just came from the doctor's office and I have cancer and I'm going to have surgery on Tuesday and I am scared to death." Mother says, "Please don't raise your voice and talk to me with that tone." By then the daughter was getting desperate and shouted, "Mother, please listen to me. I have cancer. I might die. I might die." The mother replied, "Don't talk to your mother in that tone of voice. I don't have to listen to that. And if you leave the enchiladas in the oven too long, they'll get hard." It's evident that that piece of information was too painful for the mother to process. She didn't want to hear it, so she simply tuned it out and went a totally different direction. She could not handle it. And we all get news sometimes that we can't handle. We don't want to deal with it. We just try to deny it and turn away. Paul Tillich, a great theologian of a past generation, said, "The first duty of love is to listen." And I like that. The first duty of love is to listen. Listening is particularly important in families. That should be self-evident, but evidently it's not. Because our families are the first people that we don't listen to. We'll listen to a stranger tell his life story before we listen to our family often. There was a study some time back in San Francisco of teenage prostitutes, and these young women were asked about home life growing up. They're trying to ascertain how they ended up the street as prostitutes. Is there anything you needed most and couldn't get growing up? The researchers asked these young girls. Invariably, the answer was accompanied by sadness and tears. Said, what I needed most when I was growing up and did not get was someone to listen to me. Someone who cared enough to listen. As simple as that, just to listen. And how many children, how many spouses, how many aunts and uncles, nieces, nephews would echo that same cry? We all need someone to listen to us. Robert Heron says that good listening is like tuning in to a radio station. For good results, you can only listen to one station at a time. You can have more on, but you're not really going to get the benefits of it. He says that trying to listen to his wife while looking at an office report is like trying to receive two radio stations at the same time. He ends up with distortion and frustration. We've all done things like that. Listening requires a choice of where to place your attention at that time. To tune into your spouse and your children, you must first choose where and who you're going to listen to. That might mean laying down the newspaper. Oh, the horror of it. Moving away from the dishes that need to be done in the sink. Oh, those dishes have got to be done. It may mean stop washing that car. Stop cutting the grass. Put down the book that you're reading. Setting aside some project. It may mean cutting off the computer. Or the television. Can you do that? And it may mean taking that cell phone and shutting it off and not answering it for a while when it rings. We're like Pavlov's dogs when it rings. Doesn't matter what we're doing, it rings and we think automatically, I have to answer that phone. I could be getting a message from God, the world's ending. I've got to answer. No, you don't. It can wait a few minutes. 99.9% of the time, you can wait a few minutes at least. You know, studies show that most of us are not good in multitasking. I just saw a television show about it. A guy said he was an expert. He could multitask. He could do things. And they showed him trying to drive and add up numbers or something. He couldn't do it. And he was shocked to find out that he couldn't. Look how many wrecks are happening because people are trying to text and drive. Eat and drive. You're not good at it, people. You just think you are. A mother named Star Patterson tells us, standing in the kitchen sink working diligently on dinner preparations, that it reminded her of peeling, while she's peeling potatoes, but that's what her children like, mashed potatoes, and in the Army they called it KP duty. And Star thinks it's a good title for a task. Put her in home, KP stands for kid pleasing. So mashed potatoes are one of the kids' favorites, so when she's doing that, she's pleasing her kids, so she thinks all of her attention and her time is focused on them because she's doing something for them. Makes sense. So one day she's busy with her KP duty doing these potatoes. She's at the sink and it takes a long time to do it. She's peeling them, which she ought to leave the peels on, be healthier for them, but Another story. Within a few minutes, you know, the boy is just talking to her, trying to get her attention, and she's just peeling away, kind of listening to him, you know, but focusing on those potatoes and her task at hand. 5 minutes pass, and Stephen just continues to chatter away, trying to talk to her, trying to really get her attention. She finally puts her potatoes down in the sink and bends down to her son. And he's 5 years old. Takes his little chubby hands, and he grabs her on the cheeks, and he pulls her face to him and looks her straight in the eyes and just looks at her and says, "Mommy, will you please listen to me with your eyes?" How many people do you talk to that never look at you? Talking to you and they're looking over here somewhere. Or they're talking to you and cell phone rings and they answer the cell phone. You've taken the time to go out with them to a meal or somewhere and they spend 15 minutes on the cell phone talking to somebody that called them. I want to take the cell phone and whew, we're living in a very rude society nowadays. I understand if it's a business call and it's got to be handled, but come on, people. This lady says, 14 years later, she says, "I'm still learning to listen with my eyes." Something like Pastor Warren once said, he said about 40% of our waking hours is spent listening, but at a 25% efficiency. And I think he's right on. So much of our listening is body language. But our primary thing is responsibility is to listen to Jesus Christ. And our lesson for the day is that magnificent scene on the Mount of Transfiguration that Bill read. Our Master took Peter, James, and John, the three, his inner circle, those who he is closest to, high up on a mountain. And they're all alone in there. Christ was transfigured before them with Elijah and a Moses had gone to heaven and coming back and he's talking to them. And he wants to build those three little tabernacles to them. And honor to them. He didn't know what to do. And then God says, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Listen to him." That's always been our primary task as a Christian. We cannot do anything. We cannot do evangelism. We cannot build up our church. We cannot pray. Church dinners, everything. Everything is secondary until we listen to what Christ has to say. If we don't, we're just out on our own doing what we want to do. You've got to get your marching orders from Jesus Christ. From Scripture, from God. It's like a man named Ron who's playing golf. He got his caddy, had never played the course before. So he's out playing his 18 holes, and his caddy is giving him the right clubs, telling him how to do it. Ron's not listening to him. And how's the game going? Not very well. So out on the ninth hole, the caddy finally says, "Listen, if you want to play a good game, you're going to have to listen to me. I walk this course every day. This is my job. I know the fairways. I know the greens. I know how the grass is cut. I know what I'm talking about. I can make you a better golfer." And that's the same way in the game of life. When we listen to Jesus Christ, our lives become better. I'm not saying we don't have any problems, but we get through those problems and we get through life much better. We handle things much better. So we need to turn our eyes towards Jesus. We need to let our hearts open to Jesus Christ, to follow Him, to listen to Him. And we need to set time aside each day for that soul task to hear what Jesus Christ has to say to us, to our spirit, to our heart, to our minds, to open up. He may want to talk about how we're treating our family members, our co-workers, our friends. He may want to talk to us about our discipleship of following Him. Are we really following Him as true disciples? He may want to talk to us about our faithfulness within our church. Are we doing as members, or the collective body of the church, what He has called us to do? Our mission. He may want to talk to us about some undesirable behavior in our life. And that's why we don't want to listen. We're scared God's going to tell us something we don't want to hear. But He also may want to say something of encouragement to you. So don't forget, He wants to build you up. It's not His desire to tear you down. His desire is to build you up, to edify you, to make you better. Of course, some of the things we would say to us are not things we want to hear. Like the grandmother who turned off the hearing aid. Sometimes it's hard to listen to the words of Christ. But we need to listen. We need to trust Him. Today's lesson to us in particular, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to Him." So I ask you today, are you willing to listen with your ears? Are you willing to listen with your heart and take that next step? The first duty of love, to listen. Are you really willing to listen to your family? It's really, really important to keep your family unit together. Are you willing to listen to your friends to keep the friendships going? Are you willing to listen to your co-workers? We all need to listen to others, but we need to be listened to also. It's a two-way street. A voice came from the cloud, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to Him." And I end with these words. They're not just words written. This is a command. Listen to Him. It's a command. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn is 592, "In This Quiet Moment." The sanctuary this day, may you go determined in your heart to listen to what Jesus Christ has to say to you, to open up yourself to the power of the Holy Spirit, to listen to your family, to those that are closest to you. What are they trying to really say to you? Listen to your friends, your family, your co-workers, your neighbors. They may be crying out to you in desperation. And find someone that you can talk to that will listen to you and will care and have compassion. Go out into the world and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, that He will listen, that He cares, that He has that compassion. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.